Masechet Kelim, Perek He, Mishnah, Yod Aleph. We've been talking about ovens and kirah that have been made from earthenware. Now we'll talk about ovens and kirot that were made from stone and metal. Mishnah says, Tanur shel even v'shel matechet tahor, an oven made from stone or from metal is tahor. If it's stone, it's entirely tahor because stone does not have the ability to become tameh. If it's a metal oven, it does not become tameh in the same way that an earthenware oven normally does. An earthenware oven becomes tameh if a source of tum'ah touches it or enters its airspace, but it does not become tameh from something that touches the outside of it. So how is that different than a kli matechet? V'tameh mishum kli matachot. But a metal utensil becomes tameh in the normal way that a metal utensil becomes tameh, which is according to the rules that a metal oven becomes tameh by being touched even on the outside. Metal utensils become tameh, but they do not become tameh through the airspace the way an earthenware oven normally does. So there are different laws for metal. Metal even touching on the outside would make it tameh, but the airspace would not make it tameh. There's also a special law that an oven becomes tameh when it's attached to the ground. That applies only to earthenware ovens, not to ones made of stone and metal. Stone ovens do not become tameh whatsoever, and metal ovens only become tameh when they are not attached to the ground. The law that a tameh oven becomes tahor only by being broken, also like we've been talking about, applies only to earthenware ovens. Metal ovens could become tahor by being dipped in a mikveh. When the Torah tells us about the tumah of ovens, it's always talking about earthenware ovens. So what the Mishnah is coming to say is that stone and metal have a different law than the ovens that the Torah is talking about. They become tameh only through the general laws of kelim. They don't have these special stipulations of ovens where they become exceptions to the rules. So stone ovens do not become tameh whatsoever. Metal ovens become tameh like a regular metal utensil. Now we'll talk about a case where even stone and metal ovens become tameh like a regular earthenware oven. So these would be exceptions. Nikav, nifgam, nistak. If a stone or metal oven has a hole in the wall, or a piece broke off of the top of the oven, or there was a crack that runs down the whole length of the oven, asalo tefela, and the owner made a coating of clay around it to seal up that whole crack or damaged component that it had. Or musaf sheltit, or he made an addition of clay to the top of the oven to fix the damaged top. Tameh, the oven becomes tameh like an earthenware oven. The oven cannot function when it has a hole or a crack, and the clay that's on it is giving it the ability to be used as an oven again, and therefore the clay is the decider, and therefore it now becomes like a clay oven. So once it's heated to the required temperature at that point in time, it's considered to be like an earthenware oven itself. Even if he doesn't coat the entire oven, the entire metal or stone oven with the clay, if it's covering the cracks and it's making it usable, it's considered to be so fundamental to it that it takes on the laws of an earthenware oven. How big does the hole have to be to apply the din we just mentioned? Kama yehe banekev kedei sheyetzeh bo ha'ur. How much does the hole have to measure? How large does the hole in this type of metal or stone oven have to be that sealing it with clay is going to now turn it into a clay earthenware utensil? We say it has to be large enough for the flame of the oven to escape through it. This type of hole has to be big enough for a lot of the heat to escape. If the oven, if the flame shoot through this hole, the oven loses its heat so much that it can't work whatsoever, and it's not considered to be an oven. So sealing that type of hole with clay would bring back the use of the oven, and therefore it's the clay that makes it usable again, so we treat it like a regular earthenware oven. We'll learn that stone and a metal kirah have the same law as the ovens made from these materials. If a kirah has a hole and the hole is repaired with clay, then the stone or metal kirah is not treated like an earthenware kirah, like we just spoke about. Now we'll talk about how large of a hole does this have to be within a kirah. V'chein bakira. The same holds true for a kira. If a kira has a hole in it that's large enough for a flame to escape through it, and then you seal up that hole with clay, the stone or metal kira are now treated as an earthenware utensil as well. Now we'll talk about a metal or a stone kira, which is the same laws as we've been mentioning for a regular oven, with one exception, with one difference. Kira shel evin v'shel matech et tehora. A kira made of stone or metal is pure. Stone kira cannot become tameh whatsoever. Stone utensils don't become tameh. A metal kira does not become tameh in the normal way a regular earthenware kira would become tameh. But if metal kira becomes tameh the way a regular metal utensil would become tameh, metal kira becomes tameh, like we said earlier, with a regular oven or regular metal utensils, by being touched by tum'ah, even on the outside, but it does not become tameh through something entering its airspace the way a kira made of earthenware would become tameh. Nikeba, nifkema, nisteka, if it develops a hole, or a piece is broken off, or becomes cracked, and the damage was on the bottom of the kira, so now the kira can't rest on the ground normally. Asala pitputin, if the owner made feet for it, he put little earthenware legs under the kira to hold it up. Teme'a, the kira is tameh as a earthenware utensil. The kira can't be used if it wasn't being supported by these feet. So the little feet that are made on the bottom are essential, they're fundamental, and they make the kira able to be used. So the entire kira is now treated like an earthenware utensil, the same dinim. A kira has to be in an upright position for the pots on top of it to be able to sit and cook. If the bottom is broken or cracked, the whole kira is going to be tilted and nothing could rest on top. So kira doesn't have a normal bottom, won't be able to ever cook anything. So therefore, what's being made over here, like a little bit of a tripod on the bottom to hold it normally, enables eventually something to be put on top and cooked up there. This law is only going to be where the hole was on the bottom of the kira. If the hole was on the side of the kira, then repairing it with clay would not make it a earthenware utensil, a kira that's used to cook pots on top and placed on top of it. So the kira itself doesn't have to be extremely hot for it to get done. As long as the fire burns beneath the pot, doesn't matter if the sides are open, the pot would get hot. So therefore, a hole on the side that would allow heat to escape wouldn't be a me'akev. It wouldn't be such a problem that if we fixed it with clay, now it's going to be considered earthenware. We don't have to say that. Because even if there's a hole on the side, the pots on top will cook. But a tanur, on the other hand, is used in order to bake bread. And the bread is baked inside on the walls of the tanur. So to get this done, you have to have an oven that is very hot, and a large hole would make it problematic. It would disable the oven from getting hot. So therefore, that's why clay becomes so fundamental. If you seal up the hole with clay, the oven could now again be used for baking bread, and that's why sealing up a tanur with clay would give it the din of a kli heres, of a earthenware oven. But if you sealed up the kira with clay, it wouldn't really have that much of an improvement. So we would not treat it like that. So here we're specifying it's only if you fix the base, if there was a crack on the bottom. Now we'll talk about undamaged stone or a metal kira that was coated with clay. If he spread clay over a stone or a metal kira that was not damaged, whether if he spread it on the inside or the outside, tehora, it's tahor, it does not become tameh like an earthenware oven. The kira here is made of stone, and therefore it's entirely tahor. And if it's made of metal, it's tameh according to the rules of metal utensils. The fact that he puts clay over here doesn't really change much of the cooking that's normally done with a kira. Like we said, a kira pots are put on top of it, the fire is under, the heat is coming from the fire and not from the walls of kira. So the coating doesn't really make a difference on the kira. In the previous case where the kira was damaged and clay was used to fix it, the clay does change the status of these ovens, because it's what made the kira functionable again by putting the feet on the bottom of it. If you have a stone or a metal kira, that's coated with clay, we treat it as an earthenware oven, because we're talking about an oven over there, because the bread is baked on the inside of the walls, and those walls have to be very hot, so the clay coating increases it to a whole new level and allows it to bake. So for this reason, we treat it like a earthenware oven. So we have to be very specific what we're talking about. There's a tanur, there's a kirah, there's utensils, and for each one of them, because they function differently, the halakha deviates in a small way. Rabbi Yehuda omer, mibifnim teme'ah, mibachutz tehora. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if the coating of the clay was put on the inside of the kirah becomes tameh, like an earthenware utensil. But if the coating of clay was put on the outside of the kirah is tahor from the tum'ah of is tahor from earth, from the possible tum'ah of earthenware utensils. According to the Rabbi Yehuda, the clay on the inside is effective. The kirah then becomes like an earthenware kirah, and therefore it becomes tameh according to those rules. But if the coating was on the outside of the kirah, the kirah is tahor from the tum'ah of kli heres, and therefore it's not considered to be like an earthenware utensil.